listening to the Locked On Nuggets podcast, your daily podcast on the Denver Nuggets. Now, here is your host from DenverStiffs.com, Adam Mattis.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Locked On Nuggets podcast, part of Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Adam Mattis, from DenverStiffs.com, the largest Denver Nuggets blog and community on the web. Check us out. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and the Twitter. This episode of the show is going to be about the loss to the New York Knicks on the second night of a back-to-back at Madison Square Garden, in which Kristaps Porzingis lights up the Nuggets for 38 points, and the Nuggets' defense is nowhere to be found in the first half. Did make an appearance in the second half, but a little too late. Before we get started on the show, I hope everybody listened to yesterday's episode. The major announcement was that we have changed locations. We are now on Megaphone, not on Audio Boom. That is a network-wide change. So if you did, I think most people usually get their podcasts from different apps like Stitcher, Apple iPods, Google Play, or whatever. All of those. It should be on every single one of those. And if you get your podcasts on those platforms, nothing changes. You're good. You don't have to worry about it. But if for whatever reason you listen to the Audio Boom app, I know especially a lot of people abroad seem to listen to it that way, you're going to have to switch over and use one of your other podcast apps, of which there are hundreds of them. So give those a try. And I also want to say thanks to so many people who left a review on iTunes. I explained how to do that. I might do that like once a week going forward. I'm going to try to limit it because I know you guys don't like to listen to that. But I did get a bunch of them. I think like 20 new ratings on iTunes yesterday or today. And I really appreciate it, guys. I know it's a simple thing, but it makes a big difference for me and for the show. So big thanks to all of you that did that. So let's get into it. The Nuggets tonight, it was a frustrating first half. There's no doubt about it. I think it was a tough first half to watch, probably every bit as bad as that Charlotte game. I think maybe even more frustrating. The Nuggets came out pretty flat. I think it's pretty fair to say that. A lot of times we talk about energy and effort, and I'm never a guy that's big on energy and effort. It's clearly a thing. I think for players like Kenneth Faried, it's mostly what they have. So it works for players like that. But I just see the game, for right or wrong, and I'm not even saying this is right, but for right or wrong, I see the game very in a very cerebral way. And when I played, I played the game in a very, in some ways I played at the pace of like a Wilson Chandler. And I know his pace of play frustrates a lot of people, but I think that there's very, very good basketball teams that play with, a certain like pace, medium pace, and think the game and kind of win that way rather than just. I don't think everybody has to kind of be this like smash mouth, crazy intensity team. That being said, the Nuggets were well below the threshold that I think you have to have. I mean, there's a threshold there. I think the way to put it is I see the threshold as like lower than maybe a lot of people. I don't think basketball has to be the sport where you give a great speech before you head out there and then everybody's foaming at the mouth and like, testosterone levels on 100. I think somewhere around like 60 to 70 is an acceptable, scale for that level of intensity if you can make up for it with execution and attention to detail and focus and those things. Well, the Nuggets were well below that threshold, I think, to start off for whatever reason. And I think, when you look at Kristaps Porzingis, who's having a heck of a year, by the way, a shooter, really any type of shooter of his ilk, getting an easy shot or getting easy shots early on always puts a shooter in rhythm. You have to make things hard for them early on in a game. And I thought the Nuggets gave Kristaps probably the easiest first 5 minutes he will see all year. First play of the game, Jokic and Wilson Chandler get a switch. I felt like it was the type of play Jokic could have fought through, but for whatever reason he switched. Almost like, I thought there was times in this game where it felt like Jokic was running away from Kristaps. It was kind of disappointing. And again, it's hard to know how much of this was scheme, but there was a pretty soft screen early on, and Jokic switched off of him. He gets a little like pin down screen with Wilson guarding him, and Wilson just took an absolutely horrible angle. Basically, what happens is Kristaps gets like a 12 footer uncontested wide open shot in the middle of the floor. Basically as easy of a jump shot as you can take to open the game, and of course he knocks it down. Next couple of plays, you know, that much has been made of the Nuggets' defensive pick and roll scheme, the new scheme that brings bigs, and especially Nikola Jokic, because I think some of the bigs last year came up and played aggressive. Well, this year they're having Nikola do it. There was a play early on where he jumps out and shows really, really hard on a Jared Jack Kristaps Porzingis 1-4 pick and roll. And Jared Jack kind of drags him over, the kind of veteran smart move here. He drags him 6-7 feet to the right as Kristaps Porzingis pops 6 or 7 feet to the left, creating this like 15 feet of space, something around there. And you know, Jokic shows all the way, easy pass to the other, to Kristaps from the right wing to the left wing. And it's just like, okay, you gave him a 12 footer. Now you're giving him a wide open 3-pointer on the wing to start the game. Knocks that one down. A couple plays later, same thing, only this time on a side pick and roll. Jokic shows really, really hard and kind of tracks the ball all the way into the corner. Well, that leaves Kristaps Porzingis on the right wing this time wide open, and it's another just wide open, easy shot. So you give him three rhythm jumpers to start the game, and actually there's a fourth one, another one where I thought Jokic kind of died on the screen. Him and Wilson Chandler didn't communicate, but again, it looked like Jokic was hoping Wilson would switch for whatever reason when I don't think they should have, and Porzingis gets a wide open dunk with like nobody within 10 feet. So as easy, he knocked down the shots, you have to tip your hat to him, but as easy a shots as you can give a jump shooter to start a game, and by then he was in rhythm, the Nuggets were out of sorts, and you know, the first half I thought went really, really poorly. So I think it was a recipe for how to let Kristaps Porzingis get hot. The Nuggets were running in that first half. And I don't know. I think a lot of it has to do with being, again, below that threshold. Some of it has to do with Jokic maybe wanting or expecting the switches when they shouldn't have been there. And then some of it has to be with, you know, that pick and roll game plan. You have to, I think you have to game plan early on for saying, hey, we're not going to let Kristaps get going. Jared Jack doesn't kill teams anymore. It's not like you have to worry about him too much, but Kristaps Porzingis can. So I thought it was strange. But the hits didn't end there. I thought, you know, the Nuggets could have survived that early Porzingis run that he had. I think he had like 13 points in his first stint in the game. Might have even been more than that. But really what buried them was the Kyle O'Quinn minutes that followed. And Kyle O'Quinn is a hustle player. He's kind of the Kenneth Faried of the Knicks. He has a little bit more of a game, you know, a little bit more touch on a jumper and like footwork and can dribble and stuff, but not that much. But he's just a hustle guy, man. He's just a dog. And the Nuggets went with some weird lineups, I thought. Lineups that you would think would be tough and strong enough to kind of handle the boards, Darrell Arthur, Kenneth Faried, but they didn't. Kyle O'Quinn ate up the boards. He played just 20 minutes in this game, and he was able to grab, I think, 12 rebounds. Let's see here what he ended up with. 12 rebounds, 5 of them on the offensive end. Those are killer points. He ended up as a plus 14. So when I say the Nuggets could have survived the Kristaps barrage, Kristaps finished with 38 points, and he was a plus minus 0. Phenomenal game on his part. I mean, he did a lot. 14 of 26 is good shooting on that type of volume, so he did his job. But the Kyle O'Quinn minutes, I thought, were really what buried the Nuggets in this one. Those were even more impactful overall. And that's what put the Nuggets not just down 10 or 12 or whatever, but to put them down 20. And, you know, expecting a team to come back from that, I just don't think you're gonna get that. Now, in the second half, and this is something I started noticing in the first half, especially when they went to the bench with Frank, I'm going to screw this up, Frank Ntilikina, when they went to him, he just is clearly, he reminds me of Moutier's rookie season, like when Chris Paul was guarding him, like he cannot handle the ball pressure. And I don't know why this wasn't the game plan from the start, because it's not a surprise who the Knicks' ball handlers are. Jared Jack, veteran, but not by any means like a guy that you're going to get burned by pressuring him. And then Ntilikina, and I think the Nuggets should have just been pressuring from the start. Second half, they come out with a renewed energy. They start putting the pressure on. Gary Harris in particular, I thought, did a phenomenal job on ball. And they get and they change the game. They change the pace of the game. They change the tempo. I thought they were in position to make the Knicks collapse. And I thought, okay, there was a moment in the game where I thought, oh, man, the Nuggets might actually win this. Not just win it, but they might win it running away because they tied the game up, I think. I don't remember if it was the third quarter or early parts of the fourth. Might have been the third quarter where they tied the game up, and you think, oh, man, there's so much time here. The Nuggets could actually put the clamps down and win this game by double digits or something. But it was all defense, and it was all defense in transition, and I think that's encouraging. You know, I'm really excited for an article I have coming out on Wednesday. I haven't written it yet, but I have a bunch of notes I've been collecting all week from the games, clips, and different things. My weekly Wednesday column. If you like the show, you got to check out the Wednesday column. Pick X's and O's. I'm so excited to be writing this year. One of the benefits of not working for Vice this year. I would have loved to have had that money and that source of income. But one of the benefits is I have more time to kind of focus on the Denver Nuggets. And so, check out that column because I think it's going to be some of my best work, at least in written form. So But I'm kind of excited to show some of the problems the team is having in the half court because, and I'm excited to show some of the things that they're doing well on the defensive end. They're by no means a defensive juggernaut, but I think they have the framework to be a very good defensive team, and they're doing things that they just weren't doing last year. So you saw a lot of that in that third quarter. I thought the pressure was good. They rattled the Knicks. They got going. They got out and running, and their offense became a transition offense. And with where the Nuggets are right now, they've got to figure out their half-court game, and I'm going to get to that in a second. But if you can't get to the half-court game right away, you got to be able to get stops, and you got to be able to create transition opportunities with those stops. And the Nuggets did that in the third quarter, and that's why they went on a run. Similar to the Brooklyn game, by the way, where the third quarter – it wasn't necessarily great half-court execution. It was transition and secondary break offense that was started by good defensive possessions. So, and then on top of that, so you have great defense, you're getting out of the break and filling the lanes well, and so the offense was coming more naturally. But then you had Gary Harris get hot, and it was great to see. I mean, he got hot and knocked down some big shots. Jamal Murray got hot and knocked down some big shots. And you know, it made me think while watching it, the half-court offense was just so bad, guys. It was painful to watch. Every game it makes me sad watching this team. I'm honestly sad watching them in the half-court because they were just pure joy, pure basketball bliss last year in the half-court, and they've just lost it entirely. But seeing those guys get hot in transition where the decisions are quick, it just made me realize this team – I've never been more confident in my life that this team should be a great half-court offensive team. They haven't figured it out yet, and I don't want to like put this – people have to understand where I'm coming from with these podcasts. I'm sharing notes that I'm seeing in the games. People extrapolate that to say, oh, the coach needs fired or this or that. Anytime you incorporate new pieces and personalities and all this stuff, it's going to take time, I'm inclined to allow that time before making any type of like snap overarching judgments. But when you watch the ball popping in transition and you see how many playmakers there are on this team and how many just scorers and shooters and cutters, you just look and say, okay, this should be happening in the half court. The Nuggets last year, not a fast breaking team. I always bring up, they had a 130-point game last year with six or five. I can't even remember. I can't believe I forgot this stat. Five or six fast break points. That means they had 125 points in the half court. They were a half court team last year. And one of the reasons the half court worked is because they made such quick decisions. They moved the ball so quick. It was almost like you were playing fast break speed in the half court. Fast break decision making. And the defense was having to make fast break reads in the half court. So when you see that in transition this year, you know, in that third quarter, you just realize, man, once they figure it out, they have the pieces here to be a good offense. I refuse to believe, and I don't believe it because I don't see it. People like to make it's my least favorite type of analysis when people look at stats or they'll watch a game and they'll say, oh, you know, teams are really sitting on what the Nuggets like to do and they figured them out. Well, the only reason you say that is because you see the effect. And so you assign a cause. The effect is the Nuggets offense is struggling, ergo the cause must be teams have figured them out. And I think when I'm watching it, that's not the case at all. The Nuggets' execution and their timing and their spacing and where they're supposed to be on offense is all off. And there's a lot of players kind of looking around in the half court of what they're supposed to do. There was a great play tonight where like we're like two or three guys pointed in different directions. Like the ball's at the top of the key and somebody points at one guy who points at the other guy. The other guy points, and it was just like, oh my God, this team clearly doesn't know what they're supposed to be doing on offense. But I say that all to say I think Nuggets fans have to maintain this like certain amount of positivity, because it's not guaranteed that the Nuggets are going to figure this out. And if they don't, then, you know, the season's going to be a disaster and there's going to be some drastic changes, I think, all around. But if they do figure it out, there's so many things here that are working in their favor. I do think their defense looks like it can be improved over last year. Their transition game looks good. Nikola Jokic, you know, he's such an interesting case study, because tonight, 9 of 15, 60%, 6 of 10 from 3, which is just absurd. 28 points, he was a plus 5. You look at his player profile and just the type of shots he's taken, it's so different from last year. He's getting different types of looks than last year, and yet he's still so efficient. I think you have to be so... I think at least a part of you, look, I'm discouraged by the loss, and especially by that first half, but I'm encouraged by the fact that guys are being able to, there's still a lot of positive, like, efficiency numbers and things like that out of guys, despite the fact that I think they're either being used incorrectly or they just haven't found their footing in the offense. That chemistry hasn't happened. So another way to put it is, look, if Jokic can put up those kind of numbers when he's basically a spot-up shooter and finisher at this point, imagine what he can do when he's a facilitator. And Paul Millsap had a rough night tonight. You know, Jokic was getting burned by Kristaps early on. Then Millsap was getting burned, you know, for most of the game, really the last three quarters of the game. And then on the other end, Millsap, I thought, forced a couple of shots. Once Porzingis was struggling with foul trouble, and I think Paul Millsap was thinking, oh, I'm going to attack him and draw fouls, and he did a good job of that. But the end result was 2 of 13 with some key possessions in the fourth where I thought the Nuggets offense completely stalled as he was trying to draw fouls. And to me, Kristaps is a great player, and he was having a great game. Just beat him. Just beat him. You don't have to beat him by, oh, we have to get this guy out and we're going to win. Just beat him with trying to get into your offense and go with what was working. And unfortunately, that didn't happen. So, you know, so that was a little bit tough, I think, a tough pill to swallow. But you have to be encouraged that some of the numbers at least look like they're there. Millsap did appear pretty frustrated today, and I think he's appeared frustrated quite a bit in this game. After the game, he appeared pretty annoyed. You know, Malone chalked this one up to effort and energy, which again, those things are very true, but I'm always annoyed when a coach uses that as the go-to, because there are times when it's certainly the case, and there were certainly part of that. But at the same time, there's more to a game than just energy and effort. When that's the excuse after every loss, it gets a little bit tiring. For me as a player, I think it gets tiring. And Millsap had an interesting quote, because I think Ali Sturm asked him, you know, hey, coach said it was energy and effort. And he basically said, yeah, I don't know if that's it or not. And usually, you know, the stock answer is, yeah, he's right. We can always be better at energy and effort. That's kind of like a get-out-of-jail-free card to media. You can always, you know, famously – Rasheed Wallace would always say, both teams played hard. Well, this is kind of the opposite of, you know, both teams didn't play hard. It's like one of those things you can just always say that, you know, reporters can't even question or whatever. But Millsap didn't use that one. He said, you know, I don't know if that's the case or not. We'll have to see. So I thought that was kind of interesting. But you look at the road trip overall, I don't think it was a success by any means, 2-2. I don't know that I would call it a failure outright. I think, you know, if you're on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being a perfect trip, 1 being the worst trip possible, I think it was like a 4, maybe a 3.5. So it wasn't the worst thing in the world, but the Nuggets, their record is still intact, 3-4. You know, they're still right in the thick of everything after 7 games. So now they start a homestand. The homestand's interesting because, you know, the talent, I think, gets tougher, but the... But, you know, you're at home, and you're at home for, I think, 5 or 6 games. So hopefully the Nuggets can get a rhythm there. I think being in front of the home crowd with some big teams coming through, Golden State, you know, Toronto's a good team. Maybe there'll be a nice home crowd, and you can build a little bit of momentum here. So thanks so much for listening, guys. I will be back tomorrow doing another episode talking about what's going on at practice. And, you know, we'll probably – we'll probably break down this game a little bit more as long as some of the other notes, because I only watched it the one time. I'll probably go into some of the film a little bit more in depth tomorrow. I didn't want to go through it again tonight, guys. I'll be completely honest with you. But I'll probably go a little bit more in detail and also share some of the stuff that I have from the Atlanta game and the Brooklyn game. So thanks for listening, guys. Again, be sure to subscribe on whatever podcast app you're using, because we are at a new location. And I'll be back again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Nuggets podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and visit us on the web at denverstiffs.com.